something every week. Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army!
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? Not a lot of best news these days, huh?
Ooh, hell of a game we're going to break down. But me and Alex had a great holiday party last night. We do a white elephant with the friends. A little behind the eight ball, you can tell by our voices, but we are going to get through this draw.
We feel rough, but we don't feel as bad as we played yesterday, sir. So it's all relative.
It's all relative. Just need a nice cup of coffee, jump into the match.
Break down a 2-2, bro. 2-2 draw. 2-2 St. Mary's.
St. Mary's Stadium. I mean, this lineup came out and wow, Twitter was a light here. Of course, I'm speaking of the 5-3-2 from the tactical genius Jose the Grinch Mourinho. Back five, Shaw, Matic at center back. That's right, Matic playing center back. He did not get the drop. Jones and McTominay playing center back as well. Ashley Young on the right. Pogba, Fellaini, and Herrera in the midfield with Rashford and Lukaku playing up top as a two. I do like Rashford and Lukaku playing together, but man, the rest of the team, lots of questions. How do you feel about this lineup?
Sir, I think I texted you immediately. As soon as I saw it, I was very unhappy with this lineup. I didn't realize Southampton was Real Madrid, bro. It's like you're setting it up basically to like park the bus and hope to nick a goal on the counter or on the fast break from either Rashford or Lukaku, but you're not really setting up to attack. I had a lot of question marks, bro. I mean, I had no idea what was going on with this.
I got your text. I kind of was a little confused as why everyone was freaking out, because you have Rashford, you have Lukaku, you have Pogba, Fellaini, and Herrera. I mean, those five players should be able to get you over the line at Southampton. Now, when you look at the 5-3-2 lineup, it's very defensive-minded. Then you have non-center backs playing center backs, and that's kind of where it all falls apart for me, right? We should be playing like 4-3-3, 4-3-2-1, something along these lines, because we should be brave away at Southampton. They're in a relegation fight. Mark Hughes is basically going to get the sack. And he is basically ready to get the sack next by the bookies. And this is a weak animal, injured animal. We should just kill him, right? Easy as you like.
You're projecting weakness in this lineup. This shows that you're afraid. You're afraid that they're going to come at you and be ready to defend. But we have Eric Bailly ready to go, bro. He didn't even make the bench. What the hell is going on? We have Fred available. He should be playing. Matic should get dropped. And you just don't have enough attacking players in the field, considering that you have options at your disposal. You have Amata. You have Lingard. You have Martial. He was in form, right? He misses. He doesn't score a goal. And then all of a sudden he gets dropped. But I don't know. I had a lot of issues with this lineup, sir. And it didn't get much better when we started the game.
Yeah, one thing about Jose Mourinho's lineup changes week to week. We're definitely not finding the best 11, you know. So the teams aren't playing well. He's fiddling with them, making lots of changes, playing players out of position, and just going nowhere, right? So let's just jump into this game. Kind of a mare in the second minute. Start off with a really strange play. Kind of funny. Southampton's keeper McCarthy whiffs on a clearance. Rashford pounces on the loose ball, finds Lukaku from the touchline after a deflection. Lukaku one-on-one with McCarthy and deflected off the keeper. Great opportunity for United in the first 2 minutes there. And the Southampton keeper looking like he's going to get relegated right there.
I mean, that whiff was something else. Good Rashford to keep it in play. Should have gotten an early goal, man. We've been talking about the fact that we've been missing a lot of these early chances. Sometimes they're earned, sometimes they're not earned. This is probably an unearned one. But it would be helpful to get that early goal, bro, because it changes the game, because not much longer. Southampton, bro, they tore right through us, didn't they? 13-minute goal.
Yeah. Other than the first 2 minutes, it looked ugly. 13th minute, like you alluded to, goal for Southampton. Stuart Armstrong, like some real schoolboy defending from Manchester United, has a hell of a shot on a rope to the right side of the box. Beats De Gea from that angle. Great take. Assisted by Obafemi and Southampton. You and me look at each other like, how many times have we sat on my couch early on Saturday, Sunday morning, and then, you know, within 20 minutes, we're just looking at each other, watching a, bottom five side put one past us away. This is tough stuff.
Basically waiting for the second goal, too, right? That first one, I mean, that was some of the worst defending I've seen from United this season. And that says something, dude. Redmond was able to dribble up into the edge of the box through, like, four players. No one put a tackle in. No one put anything in. Pass it to, how do you say his name?
Obafemi.
Obafemi, who finds Armstrong well. Good finish. But dude, shouldn't even be able to make, get into the box, make that pass. Not good enough. Everyone's ball watching, not doing anything.
Hey, things get better. Just kidding. It gets worse. 20th minute goal for Southampton. Foul by Marcus Rashford, kind of foolish on the outside of the box. Shown an early yellow, and then Cedric hits a worldly of a free kick to beat. Dave saves. You have McTominay awkwardly hunched behind the wall. We'll get to that a little later on the free kick setup. But Southampton running riot, up two goals at home against Manchester United and out of four Manchester United. 5-3-2 Manchester United. McTominay, Matic, center back Manchester United. Sir, how are you feeling at this moment?
So gutted, and you don't have a team that's set up to go back and attack them and pull back the lead. I was actually surprised the goals that came in the first half, like they kind of came out of nowhere. You know, we weren't like putting together.
Dude, Rashford, right?
Rashford. It was, they both went through Rashford. He offers that exciting option, but we didn't have much of a offensive look to us at all. We just seemed to be passing from the back. It seemed like a Louis van Gaal team. So
Louis van Gaal's army.
You're set up defensively. You give up two early goals, and then you're stuck with that lineup, and it's hard to create a lot through. That midfield was so slow, they couldn't create anything, and then all you have up front is Rashford and Lukaku, but if they can't get the ball, they can't get good passes. Defender's going to have the numbers, bro, and they can't do much with it.
Hey, despite having a real bad start in the first 20 minutes, you know, red-hot Rashford came through. 27th minute, he had a great chance, but he hit it into the I want to say to the moon. Lukaku set him up with another chance, and he is not, his pencil's not sharpened on the finishing side. He like hit that ball. That was one of the worst hits I've seen in a while, but not to get too bad on Rashford because he came good in the 33rd minute, goal for Manchester United. Rashford just running at three Southampton defenders, kind of falls against the defender, and the ball kind of squirts out. Lukaku pounces, strong left foot into the net. Lukaku on the mark. It's huge. He had a big drought, so great to see Big Luke get a goal. Poacher stuff, that's where he should be, and that's what he should do in that situation, and Rashford creating it. So good stuff with Rashford, Lukaku playing in front two, right?
I like it, dude. I like the front two of those, of them. It's, I had more issues behind those front two, but good from Rashford. You know, a little bit of magic, a little bit of luck, whatever you like, but it worked out all the same, and good for Lukaku, dude. That's what you need. Just be in the box, get balls into Lukaku, and good finish. Back, dude, back on it. It helps, man. That's the end of the drought.
Easy as you like. And we didn't have to wait too long. 39th minute, equalizer, and Herrera, back heel. Unbelievable. Tight angle, bottom corner stuff. Rashford ran to the byline, pulled it back, and then Herrera got that back heel. I think off the keeper, into the net. McCarthy letting two in. De Gea letting two in. 2-2 here in at half. How are you feeling? Did you think we could come close it out, get the 3 points?
Sir, I thought we could. I thought, you know, these two goals would certainly change the, you know, the dynamic of the game, going to the half with a lot more confidence than 20 minutes earlier when you're losing by two. So when we came out of second half, I was very, very surprised to see the performance basically slow down even more. Not what I expected.
I'm going to say probably one of the worst halves of football we've played.
I would say so.
Easily from, you know, Lukaku to Pogba to Matic, all around the board. We did not play well, and the highlights will tell you here. 72nd minute, we had a sub. Shaw gets injured. Delow comes on. A lot of people thought he should start, but you know he came on. It was actually exciting to see him run down the right hand side of the field. Ashley Young actually switched to left back in that situation. 77th minute, there was a sub. Again, late subs from Mourinho here when he could have changed it up in the 60th. Usually he is kind of on it a little earlier. Brings in Martial for Rashford. Somehow Martial doesn't make it in this team. Mourinho in the post-game presser said Rashford had injury. He did look frustrated when he came off the pitch. And you and me were questioning, why would you take off our best attacking player? But apparently it's an injury. I don't know if I trust Mourinho on that one. What do you think?
No, I mean, I think that's the only reason you would pull off an attacking player for an attacking player, even though he did the same thing with Lingard for Lukaku a little bit later. But the subs were too late, bro. The game needed to, like, you could tell by the 55th minute.
Yeah, 55.
Needed
to make us, yeah.
Dude, we needed subs because we looked so flat. And we didn't have enough attacking players to start with, so I would have taken off a Matic or a McTominay, put on a Mata, put on someone who
go to a back four.
So, yeah, something. But I don't know. He didn't change tactics. Didn't seem that urgent subbing.
Also, Fellaini on the field. We didn't have our plan B. Fellaini was playing way deep until, I want to say, the 85th minute,
right,
too.
Right, that is true.
There was not the tactical adjustment from Mourinho. He seems to be on autopilot here with these players. And when we're going side to side in the 70th minute, like at the halfway line with, you know, Fellaini and Matic and McTominay. No one's looking forward. No one's looking to try to win the game. It was very confusing. Most of the play, I kind of felt the players thought we were in ahead by a goal.
We played like that, right? We played like we were just sitting back with, you know, just burning down the clock with a lead. But we were chasing the game, dude, trying to get all 3 points away. Southampton, bro, this is not, you know, you said you would have battered this team for nothing. And instead, we're like 2-2, and we look content. Take home 1 point, you know, hey, we're staying up.
And there's nothing that says content other than the 79th minute Pog giveaway. Schoolboy stuff from Pog. If you watch the replay, I mean, Graham Souness is probably just like having dreams of this right now. Pogba kind of pulls the ball down from a first touch, and then he just like tries to do a drag back, and the ball just, he whiffs, and the ball just rolls past him. His reaction to this is really the issue, because he just stood there, kind of like
it.
Blaming a ghost. And then Redmond pips the ball and then goes, has a long range shot. De Gea has to dive and tip it over the bar. Could have been a goal. Again, Pogba goofing on in our half. With the ball, totally unnecessary stuff. It's like, have some emergency, distribute the pass. Do you think people on Juve are doing this type of stuff right now? No. Dybala is like, pass and move. Everyone is, all the attacking midfielders are getting rid of the ball way faster. Paul Pogba, we're basically, as far as Manchester United should be considered, we're down right now. We need the 3 points. This is one of the worst teams in the league. We got Arsenal midweek, and he is just hanging out.
Not worried. Doesn't look that worried. Sir, this is like all the issues that we've seen all season, but just intensified into one half of football, probably one game of football. This is the worst of all the things that's been wrong with our team. Lack of intensity, lack of urgency. I mean, the setup was all wrong to begin with, so that probably didn't help either. Slow team. But the second half was like, you would have thought we were up 4-0, just cruising, because they were doing nothing. We didn't create a lot of chances. We had a lot of possession, but we had very few chances in this game. And Pogba,
I can't protect Pogba here. You know, I think he's a great player, great potential, obviously won the World Cup. But, you know, some of these highlights you can watch from this game where Pogba gave it away, like in our box as well. He was trying to do the rainbow, like right next to De Gea on the edge of the box, turn it over to Southampton. This one as well almost leads to a goal. We've seen him do this when we are winning, and it does lead to a goal. So for some reason, his head is in the tricks side of the game, not the game awareness. And I do not think this attitude or type of football would fly under Sir Alex Ferguson. We'll get much more to the Pogba drama later in the pod. 86th minute sub, Lingard on for Lukaku. Lukaku comes off. He had a hysterical first touch bumble. I'm sure you guys have seen the replay. I'm not going to really comment too much on that. I think it's good they got a goal, and let's hope he comes in form. And then stoppage time. Two great free kicks. You know, we got big guys out there. Fellaini, Ashley Young on the cross. And first cross goes too far, right to the keeper. Second cross doesn't beat the first man. So that really sums it up. When the captain can't cross in stoppage time, you look at Manchester United, we have the people on the pitch to kind of be dangerous in those situations, and we're just not making the most of it. Poor execution all around, lack of effort. As a Manchester United fan, tough pill to swallow when we got our friends who are Everton fans just laughing at us on the text thread. We're looking at AFC Bournemouth. Are they winning? Are they losing? Watford, what's up with them? That's where we are right now. We are a mid-table side. It's a tough reality. My support for this club will never wane, but man, it is a, you know, this team is in shambles right now.
Sir, breaking down this game is like pulling teeth, talking about not showing up, talking about the team we love, basically like just not performing at the level that they're capable of, walking, going through the motion. It's tough,
so
bro.
Sorry.
It's very tough.
Sorry to
Start
the Manchester
pod.
United.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry to the Manchester United fans out there. I mean, there's got to be something we can look to here to, you know, have some optimism about our season. We did get through the Champions League. Let's remind ourselves that, you know, we still, we're definitely out of the league, I'm going to say.
I think so. I think that's fair.
But you know, it's one of those things. What do you do, right? We could talk about every week in, week out, the money, the board, the manager, the players, but it seems like it's just a stalemate at Manchester United, that the bar keeps getting lower and lower and lower, and there is no change. And I don't think there can be change until we get rid of the manager, but I think this could be a business decision from the board, right? It's going to be all business. When is the day that we can fire him for the least amount of money? And that's all it comes down to for Manchester United. So it is kind of dark days, and we you know, we want to be talking about the team getting in form, but man, it seems like every time there's some sunshine, clouds come in right away.
Sir, I mean, like you said, this is not going to get better until we get rid of Mourinho. I'm like, ain't no wait until January. You know, the negativity is so bad. His shit he was saying after the in the press conference after the game is so bad. Like, you got to get rid of him. He's
well, let's
toxic.
Jump into that. I mean, we have the stats here. Possession 60%. Manchester United, the hell, we got the had more of the ball away. Shots on target, we had 6 to their 5. I mean, that's okay. Not terrible. One on target, I think, in the second half. That was really terrible. Lukaku ends his goal drought. That's the positive from this match, right?
That's
there's
a big
nothing
deal.
Else.
No, that's huge. I mean,
there's nothing else. Lukaku is a great striker, and you know, getting
Luke
that
Shaw
goal,
got injured, which is not good.
Yeah, we got a lot of injuries piling up right now, and we got a lot of games in December. So this form, these injuries, this manager with this attitude, man, good luck at Arsenal. But hey, let's jump into the post game quotes. This is where the controversy lies. Mourinho was quoted, "It doesn't matter the system we play. Not winning has to do with the characteristics of the players. With all due respect, we don't have many mad dogs that bite the ball and press all the time. We don't have many people with that spirit." Mourinho blaming the players, saying it's their fault. They are not trying hard for Manchester United. It's not about my system. It's not about my tactics. Classic Mourinho blame game here. What do you think?
We certainly have one mad dog. His name is Jose.
The Grinch.
Dude, I mean, I hate to say, it just, it's gone too far, sir. It's at the point where I know we're not going to wait. It's guaranteed we're going to wait until we're
mathematically
out. Mathematically out. Like, it'll be in the spring. It might be sooner. It might be sooner if we keep falling. But until we're mathematically out, the board won't do it because the board thinks about money first. But they should do it now because it's getting so bad and the fans are getting so bad. Understandably, it's like they're losing faith in the organization and how this club is run because this is not working. And we need to get rid of the manager, put Carrick and McKenna until the end of the season. Then we figure something else out. But right now, it's just like Mourinho has lost the plot, fighting with all his players, putting in that field, that team against Southampton away. It's like, that makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, but this club is about the football, and the football on the pitch.
It's dreadful.
Is the leading priority for this club, right?
Without a doubt. It's the product.
And this football, the product, is going to hurt the commercial side of the club. This is doing damage to the brand. Having Mourinho in there, in this seat, slating the players, having Pogba play like that after you spend the money and the wages he's on, this is damaging the brand. And I think that's something they don't really realize, and that if you thought about the football first, Mourinho would be out of here, and you bring another manager and be like, do we need to deal Pogba? Because we'll deal him in January. Because you can't deal with having that a player on those type of wages at your club unhappy. It doesn't matter how much money you're going to make selling noodles. You need to have a good football product. And with Pogba and with Mourinho, it's not possible right now. Good news here, Herrera. I mean, a lot of fans love him. He put in a shift today, got the goal, cheeky back heel. He was quoted post-game, "We should forget right now about the table. We should try to win every game. That's how we'll reach top four. We should approach the Arsenal game like a final."
He gets it, bro.
I like that attitude. I want him to start against Arsenal if he's going to play like it's a final, because that's how we have to play right now.
I want him in my team, sir, because we need more of that. We need just like more of that hunger and just punch him in the jaw and punch him early and get those early goals and just like make a statement. But we don't have that in the team right now. Herrera's got that fight. He's in my starting 11.
There you go. Next, we have a pundit, Phil Neville. Quote, "You watch Pogba today. I'm sorry. If Mourinho had done an interview after the game and said, oh, Paul Pogba was fantastic, that's a lie. He wasn't fantastic. He was sloppy. He caused United problems. Deal with it." So Phil Neville continues the great line of ex-Manchester United players that are coming out and slating this team. And I think that is the biggest red flag. When you have the Scholes, the Ferdinand, I mean, I'm not going to put Neville in that class, but, you know, the old school United players who won it all, and we're there during the Fergie days, when they come out and they say, this team, these players, you know, who do you blame? Because Pogba gets some of the blame. Mourinho gets some of the blame. A lot to go around here. But when these old Manchester United players are slating this club in this fashion, the club should be listening. I mean, these guys should be on an advisory board, something.
They right? should be. They should be asking these players because they were so instrumental to such a large period of our success, right? Class 92 is historic. It was like, we wouldn't have won the trophies we won in the 90s without them. So You got to be listening to them. The season's not over, bro. It's like, get rid of him now, because Carrick, he might have a shot at top four. Change the positivity, change the mentality in the dressing room, because that money.
So you're saying there's a chance. I don't know.
This team is not bad. It's just that, like,
it's not a bad team. Top four is very far away. Like, especially when you're
drawing. If we beat Arsenal, we got to beat Arsenal. I mean, it starts with beating Arsenal.
When you draw Southampton and Crystal Palace, you got to beat Arsenal. Yeah, that's the way it goes, unfortunately.
That's how it keeps going, bro. We got to play the big teams, because we lose to the crap teams.
You know, we keep setting the table, and, you know, we're going to have to deal with it at the end of the day. I've resigned to the fact that we're going to be seventh, eighth, sixth. We're going to be well off the mark this season, and it's all about, how do we fix it? How do we, you know, change the tactics, change the philosophy, change the manager, and change the players for that manager matter with all the contracts coming up. But let's jump into Twitter. Twitterverse was all alight. People slating everyone, blaming everyone. Things are going nuts on Twitter.
Holiday spirit, bro. Everybody,
I had to put my phone down after this game. At a certain point, you just got to silence it for a little bit. At Red Devil Times, he did a great tweet breaking this down. Out of United's performance after 13 games, distance covered per game by the players on the field, we rank 16th. Sprints per game, we rank 18th. Opponents outrun, zero. Every time we've played an opponent, they have run more than we have. Opponents outsprinted, zero. Every time we played an opponent, they have outsprinted us, home and away. And he says at the end of his tweet, these bunch of players simply don't care. This is every single effort stat you can come up with. We are abysmal, and this, to me, shows that the players are not playing for the manager. I mean, Marcus Rashford probably is professional enough to be playing out there, lights out every time he gets on the field, but man, this is an indictment of the squad right now as far as effort is concerned.
So without a doubt, I think my mind went there to the same place that yours did. This shows that the players have stopped playing for Mourinho, which is why you have to get rid of Mourinho now. £14 million, bro, ain't nothing. How much do we make if we go to the Champions League versus not? Like 40?
No, more than that. But it's a drop in the bucket for this club, especially when you consider it's almost like Mourinho, where did Chelsea finish? 13th when Mourinho had that meltdown? It's like, they know where it's going to go if he stays. So it's like, why don't you get rid of him? Because it's not going to get worse. We're not going to get relegated, right? There's really no risk in it in getting rid of them other than the money. And
we're not going to get worse. You're right.
It's too much of it. They run like a business. At the end of the day, that could be our downfall, right? If they just continually focus on the bottom line and they don't think about the football, it's like, I think I'm surprised there's not a lot more protesting by the fans as far as the board is concerned. There was quite a bit of support away, so you never know. But our next tweet comes from Duncan Castles. This is the spiciest one of them all. Jose Mourinho is understood to have called Paul Pogba a virus in the dressing room at full time and told the player, you don't play, you don't respect players and supporters, and you kill the mentality of the good, honest people around you.
Why? Quote, holy shit.
I really think this is it. You know, it comes down to Pogba versus Mourinho. It's an ego battle. Pogba doesn't like Mourinho. Mourinho doesn't like Pogba. And it's a cancer, and this team can't survive with both of them in the dressing room. And arguably, this team can't survive with probably both of them. So I think at the end of the day, I wouldn't be surprised. It's not like we're going to get, other than getting Zizou in and then Pogba turning it around, you know, I don't think he's going to be too keen on, you know, putting out a ton of effort at Manchester United. I mean, what do you think?
No, I think whoever we get will be better for these two, because they've gotten to such a bad place, and Mourinho has just stuck that knife in even deeper and deeper, twisted.
But he's so selfish that he's willing to blow up the team, blow up the result, and play like shit, don't care. The attitude, the body language. So, like, Fergie doesn't want that player on his team, right? Nobody should want that player on his team. But Pogba is, like, acting a fool, right? We can't have that.
Fergie let him leave, bro. He did let him leave. He had all the talent in the world, and he's like, well, he's got something wrong. You know, he's got some kind of ego, dude. And unfortunately, Pogba is more valuable to this club. Mourinho has lost the plot. Time to get rid of Mourinho. See if the next manager can deal with Pogba. But you're right, dude. You get a new manager in. I think Carrick would be honest, bro. If Carrick's like, yo, board. I know Pogba is like our
Carrick
big money signing.
Carrick doesn't have anything to say to the board. They're like, it would be like just kind of like a nice stewardship. He'll be just like, coach what they got. It all comes down to Pogba's agent, who will float more rumors because I'm sure Pogba wants to go. Or Pogba is going to want to pick the coach, which I argue hasn't earned. So
definitely not.
I actually don't side with any of them here. I think Mourinho's in the wrong, and I think Pogba's in the wrong. So agreed. I think Mourinho's playing. He's the reason why the players don't want to put forth a lot of effort, and Pogba is making it worse by not being professional and not playing well and having a shit attitude that's definitely affecting the other players in the dressing room. So that's where we are. This giant club, the most valuable club, $4.2 billion, whatever you want to call it, these two individuals.
Have we hit rock bottom yet, sir?
Big egos just yelling at each other.
Have we hit rock bottom? Is this rock bottom? It feels like rock bottom. Could it get worse? It might get worse still.
We did draw Southampton, sir, so we're
could lose.
We're dropping. We're going down. We're not getting We're not getting points. I'll let you know that. And Arsenal beat a good Tottenham team, so we shall see. Next tweet, Samuel Lockhurst. Help us here. What was quite striking yesterday was how defiant MUFC fans were at full time. Players went over to applaud them, and the mood was still positive. Nowhere near Van Gaal level of Palace away when fans were chanting attack, attack, attack at the players after the game had ended. So, when you said, is this the rock bottom? I don't think it is, because when you look at that away support, they're behind them. But again, those same away fans are cheering at the game, and then they go out to the fan cams and slate the team, slate the manager. So it's only a matter of time until this hits the fans in the away support section, right?
No, I mean, I don't know, a matter of time.
I probably would have booed that. I mean, like, they should boo that team.
This just shows what kind of amazing away fans we have, dude. The people that go to away games at Manchester United are a special group. We've been lucky enough to be a part of it a couple times. But that's like what defines us as an institution, as a club. The fact that, like, yo, we showed more effort than you lot did on the field is a bad sign. I think that they're also showing that. It's like, look how up we are for this game. We came all the way down to the South Coast
That only gets you so much, though. At the end of the day, like,
it should get the players up.
The last 6 years, I've seen amazing away support for shit performances for the team, but that doesn't do anything. It doesn't help the team get up for the next game. You know, the players almost don't care at this point. It's something they expect. It's about the reaction from the players. They don't realize what they need to be playing for. And those people traveling away, like, play for any club in the EPL. It's not like Manchester United's away support. And they're going to take it for granted until it's not there.
They likely are taking it for granted based on what else we've seen from these players. But put it this way, if you put in a new coach and the team is still not running around, right, getting out sprinted, then who else are you going to blame?
I mean, that's where I think this could go. It get even worse. There you go. Hey, next tweet, ASSOTMUFC, Assault MUFC. I can't believe this. I agree Jose needs to go, but I'm stunned to see these Jose outs turning blind eyes to all the shit performances all these players are delivering week in, week out. These players don't give a rat's ass what happens on the pitch, and they're not even trying. #MUFC. I don't think it's this bad. A different perspective at it. You have someone going at Mourinho, then you have someone going at the players. I think it's 50-50 to blame, right? Because the football's, you know, terrible, and the tactics are terrible, which gets you kind of where we are, playing on par with Southampton, who might be relegated. So no matter who you blame, it's still not a pretty picture.
I think it's just you want to have one bad person, but I think there's just enough blame to go around. I think there's blame to go at the board, blame to go at the players, blame to go at the manager. I don't know who's more or worse at this stage, but it's just like the players are not, like, you know, they set up in a poor system. That team was not set up to score a lot of goals against Southampton. But at the same time, they weren't running around.
Yeah, I don't know. The second half, I mean, there's regardless of what you start out with, you're in the second half.
If you make a sub to the 72nd minute when we got an injury.
I would prefer Pogba to undermine Mourinho on the pitch, right? Just play attacking football. I mean, that's more productive than just sulking, right? Which is kind of what we're getting. So at a certain point, you got to kind of throw the tactics out the window when it's 2-2 and it's the 80th minute. It's like time to play hoofball. Fellaini to get up there. Pogba pick a pass. But it just looks like they don't even care. There's a few players that do care. I'm going to say Herrera cares. De Gea gets mad when he gets scored on. And Rashford. Lukaku.
Young cares. Lukaku cares, I think.
Yeah, Young cares, but can't defend Young anymore for that. Someone actually argued with me on Twitter when I tweeted out he shouldn't get another contract because he thinks Ashley Young's great. My point is, it's time to move on.
Maybe the coaching staff. Bring him to the coaching staff.
He's a utility player. He's a great player. If someone gets injured, he can come in. But as far as a bang-on starter for Manchester United right now, he's like, we got to get him off the field. And that's why we play 38 games, sir, because we always have a next match. And we got to put that Southampton draw behind us, as we did with the Crystal Palace. draw. And as we almost had to do with the Young Boys draw, but we actually pipped that in the last minute. We have Arsenal coming to Manchester at Old Trafford Wednesday, December 5th at 12 p.m. Huge game historically. You know, the juggernauts in English football, Wenger versus Fergie. We've won 98. We've had their number, drawn 47, lost 82. Pretty even for the lifetime between these two clubs. Lots of matches, lots of heated matches played. First time we actually laced it up was when we were Newton Heath playing against Woolwich Arsenal in October of 1894 in the second division, which resulted in a 3-3 draw. So we've been going back and forth with Arsenal for a long, long time. And the last time we played was in April of 2018 when we beat Arsenal 2-1 with a Fellaini 90th minute winner at Old Trafford to send Arsenal out with a loss in his last game at Old Trafford. So that was a lot of fun.
That's sweet.
And we qualified for top four with the 3 points. Oh, how times have changed. Just a year ago, you would have thought Arsenal out of top four, not playing well, all the fans pissed off. We qualify for top four. We got Jose Mourinho, second place. We're going to get all these great players in the summer. They hire Unai Emery, and you expect Arsenal to go through like 3 or 4 years of just poor form, bad football, you know, probably fire a manager every year, similar to what we've done. And man, they have hit it hot. And they just came off a win, I want to say today, when they beat Tottenham 4-2, Aubameyang killing it.
Scoring bangers, bro.
And
they look better than we've looked at basically any point since Fergie's left. I mean, I hate to say, they have no problem turning things around on our new manager. What the hell is going on with us, sir?
No, exactly. And so that's the picture to paint. It was in April. I mean, it's in December, a couple of months later. We are in the dumps and Arsenal is on a run. And no one could have predicted predicted this at that time. Everyone would have said Mourinho will get his players in the summer, which he didn't.
which he did not.
We will be probably number two in the league.
Which we're not.
And, you know, we might challenge for some Champions League silverware, FA Cup, etc.
Which we won't.
And it's just kind of like you have to put it into that context. That was April. And now it's December. And
we had like the worst summer imaginable. And exactly. Now the season has been a disaster.
So it's been a straight shot down for Manchester United. And Arsenal, things are turning around, which is kind of tough to see for a rival. But at the same time, it is possible. So we might be playing them, you know, this April. And then having that, and then turning around with a new manager. You never know. But at this stage, it's like, it's pretty insane that's how, you know, beating them in that game 2-1, qualifying from top four, everything going our way to now is.
He's had one.
That feels like years.
That guy's almost had one transfer window, bro, and he's not complaining. And he's got a pretty good team to field.
Hey, let's jump into injuries. We got a lot of them per the physio room. Luke Shaw has a knock, he's a major doubt for the Arsenal match. Obviously, he came out at the weekend. Rashford, muscle fatigue, he's a slight doubt. He came off early against Southampton as well. Baye, his back allegedly, so he is not available. But I think he's on Mourinho's shit list. So you might have an injury list and then a shit list here. And then Sanchez is also on that shit list with a hamstring injury. He's out for weeks.
No, he's very injured, actually.
Yeah, I know. But he's out till January 13th. So
transfer window.
Yeah. Conveniently, the transfer window. Either way, Sanchez had a tough run.
Jesus, that's a hell of an injury list, sir. Keep going. He's scrolling
Chris
down.
Chris Smalling, his foot, he's out. He's a slight doubt for Arsenal. Valencia, he has a knock. He's a major doubt. Lindelof, still out. He's going to be out till later December, December 22nd. And then the number one player we don't want to be injured, Matteo Darmian.
Sideburns alone, bro.
Sideburns are...
The sideburn rep is very important for us.
His sideburns are injured. He's out.
It's a hell of a list,
no return date. A hell of a list. It kind of came out of nowhere. So Mourinho, when he says he didn't get that center back, and you look at that list of injuries, we are short in the defense, and play McTominay and Matic at center back. Maybe that's... We're going to see some more of that in December because of these injuries. How do you feel?
I think you might. I mean, I didn't know Baye was injured. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But we got to buy some players, bro. Or we got to bring back, like, God.
We got to go to the player store, buy some players.
We should got Twanzabe back. You know, if we're playing freaking McTominay as center back, he's doing a job down in
Estadola. Well, Bae might be back for Arsenal. It says December 5th. He's a doubt. So it's
he hasn't
not...
played. When's the last time he played? 2 months ago?
We don't get too good of a picture of the injuries, right? Managers are pretty coy as how they talk about them.
Understandably
sometimes they hide. You know, Bae might be injured. He might not. We'll see. With all those injuries, who do you think is going to line up for you, sir?
Sir, I think who else but Dave saves Romero staying on that bench. I think you got this one right. I think DeLow is going to be the right back just because of options. I thought it might have been Valencia, but I think it'll be Smalling and Jones again. I'm assuming they're both going to be fit. And I think Shaw pulls it out, bro. I don't know why. I got a hunch that he's going to be ready. But then I see a midfield three of Matic, Herrera, Pogba, and Mata, Martial, Lukaku.
Not too shabby. Don't think that's going to be the lineup, though, because I would actually be excited to watch that. My lineup, Dave saves in net. DeLow, I'm going to say Bae and Jones, because I think Smalling has that knock. Ashley Young will come in. Fred, Pogba, Mata in the midfield with Martial, Lukaku, and Lingard up front. I really want to see Mata playing in the hole, as that's where he should be playing. And then let Fred and Pogba play in the pivot, you know? I hope Mourinho does not bench Pogba. Obviously, these comments, it makes you think he will
he
bench
might.
Pogba.
He might. And, that's a good point.
Yeah. But
play like a midfield three of like Herrera, Matic, and maybe Fred for lucky.
Enough Pog drama for this pod. But, I mean, could you imagine if Pogba comes to United and like leaves this summer? Just be like, all he did was just come in, win the World Cup, do nothing for the club, and just bounce. Like, it's that'd be pretty tough if he ends up leaving. But if you can get 150 for him, why not? I would say. If Barcelona pays 150 million.
We got to replace him.
You know, I mean, dude, we got Herrera. We got Fred, man. Don't worry about that. We're going to check in with the book. William Hill, mate. Manchester United plus 123 to win. So we are the favorite at home to Arsenal. Arsenal
surprising.
Plus 177. So surprisingly, we are the favorite at home. I think that's just history is on our side
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I think so.
And the draw plus 221. So, you know, the least likely option's a draw. Most likely we're going to take it down. Neither of us started Fellaini, ironically. He probably will start, according to Mourinho. He's undroppable. But I would much prefer him to come in off the bench as a plan B, right? I like the plan B to Fellaini. Works better than the plan B as a plan A.
I'm okay with Fellaini as long as you don't have Matic as well. I think, like, for me, they basically play the same position unless you're trying to get a goal at the end. And you want to play hoofball with Fellaini up front. But I think he's effective as a CDM. I'm like, cool with that because they're going to be in the box a lot attacking us. So I have no problem with him playing. But if they're both playing, then I'm going to be worried. And I could totally see both of them playing because they played all 90 minutes last game. So why wouldn't they play?
Do you think that Mourinho is so hyper-concerned on the defensive side of things that he overcompensates rather than just playing weak players? Like, probably. If you look at that five at the back last game against Southampton, it's almost like he only thinks about defense when he plays football, right? Because he thinks, I don't want to let in a goal, and I know they're going to make a mistake, and then we can score a goal because we have the talent up top with Rashford and Lukaku. So I'm just going to put McTominay and Matic back there. So he almost like sacrifices in the attacking areas of the pitch because he knows that Lukaku and Rashford are difference makers, whereas he has to shore up the back because we don't have any good defenders right now. I think that's how he views it, and that's why whenever he releases a lineup, everyone's always flipping out because he's only thinking about defense, and no United fan is thinking about defense.
And he's not, I don't know if he's necessarily putting us in a position to succeed based on those lineups, right? Instead of like testing players in a way that Fergie would, try to throw them in the deep end and see if they could rise up to the occasion, which a lot of times players would, dude. He does the opposite and just like, I need to have the perfect players for how I want to set up. If I don't have that, I'm going to make something work in a system that I think will let us achieve either a victory or a slim victory. But I think he's got players to set up in a more positive manner than what he's using.
Yeah, and I just don't think he's a positive guy.
Not
if you
very
can
positive
say that score prediction, sir, what do you think?
I'm calling 0-0, bro. 0-0.
Yeah, I did call a draw, Southampton. I did. I think it's going to be 3-1 Arsenal, calling a loss here. Arsenal is in form right now under Unai Emery, and we do not deserve to be projected to win this game. although the bookies are. So, I mean, if you're looking for some money, you could bet the Arsenal plus 177. As a Manchester United fan,
pains me, bro.
We have a friend who's a Toffee, an Everton fan, and just a good chuckle today as Jordan Pickford let that mare of a goal in. And
70
then
million, bro.
Jurgen Klopp celebrates in the manner he did. Hashtag, like, lunatic. He should be suspended.
Yeah,
like,
for somehow, ridiculous.
If Mourinho did that, he'd be out for 10 games. Either way, he bets against his favorite team as an emotional hedge. So, you know, if you're looking for that emotional hedge, if you're too vested in Manchester United winning, you know, you bet the Arsenal line. So if they lose, hey.
You get the draw.
You know, you get some cash and you lose. So it kind of offsets a little bit. United in the news. David De Gea will sign a new contract at United if they make him the club's best paid player. If they don't, he will leave on a free in summer 2020 per the Times. If that's all he wants, give the man the money.
$350? He wants $350 apparently.
Like, that's nothing. Give it. Same
messages.
Pay the man.
You crazy? How could you sign a player in January and not be expected to pay someone else the same amount when you have De Gea still to tie up to a long-term contract?
What has Sanchez done for us? What has De Gea done for us?
De Gea is like... Speaking of legends.
He's on half... You could pay him half a mil. No problem. He'd be like...
Whatever he wants, bro.
It'd be sane to ask for that.
Get him another Chevy. Get him 5 more Chevys.
I don't think he wants Chevy.
I don't think so.
I don't even want a Chevy. Next article, Manchester United willing to pay £70 million for Jordan Pickford.
I'm not sure about that. That goal today, bro. Woo-wee.
Yeah, so Pickford's valuation had to be cut in half after that. And if you haven't seen it...
Google it.
Go on Twitter or go to Reddit... check out the highlight. This lost the Merseyside derby, and Jordan Pickford, all he needs to do is put it over the bar, and he makes a mare of it. And 90, I think it was the 95th minute, only plus 4 minutes. And yeah, so Jordan Pickford,
and
can't say he's a good replacement anymore after this one. This is kind of like...
I'm good.
This is kind of some Liverpool keeper stuff.
He's young, though. I mean, that's like a Liverpool curse. But they got an extra minute too.
70
bro.
Million.
They got an extra minute too. They always get extra minute. Like it's.
But 70 million, you can't be paying 70 million for Pickford. He's a good prospect.
Take it out of the back of the net, Pickford.
I'd much rather take that money and spend it on a defender. Romero ain't bad. Like
no, he's not. I think he's as good as Pickford.
Let's remember that. He's probably just as good as Pickford. Next article. You either laugh or cry. Sir Alex Ferguson caught chuckling as Manchester United concede second goal in 2-2 draw against Southampton per the Daily Mail. Daily Mail with the trolliest headlines always.
Always.
And man, we were watching the game live, and you just cut to Sir Alex in the stands after that second goal. We're down 2-0, and he is just laughing. And I can't blame him, right?
Why not?
I mean, like, I can't blame him after 6 years of watching this club. Like, I'd be traveling all around the world to watch Manchester United play, and man, he's got to be like, what happened to this team? I mean, like, laughing is the only appropriate reaction there. Because you've probably been, how many of us have been angry, and then it just turns to apathy, and then it's laughter. Probably.
Well, I think he's an old man, and he knows not to get angry, right? He knows, like, life's too short. Laughing back at how amazing of a career he had for this great club. But, oh, how the mighty have fallen, bro. It's like, that game, you thought he'd be upset. But he all he could do is laugh. Just how else do you react after 6 years of this?
Yeah. I haven't started laughing yet, but maybe I will. There you go. We'll see. I'm just still more just in shock. I think shock is more the fact we are where we are right now in the league is, you know, when our fans take or when our friends you know, they punch us for being Manchester United fans, we just gotta take it. You know, I wore my Manchester United scarf to our Christmas party. You know, in the face of all my friends who want to make fun of Manchester United, I was like, I got to own it. We got to own this right now. It's like, we're not good, but I am repping my club here.
Ignored, bro. Just because we are mid-table. That just makes it hard to watch. I'm still a Manchester United fan through and through, but it's less fun to break down a 2-2.
You can't win every year, though. You can't win every year.
We've deserved
year,
it after how
it's...
good we've had it. We had a hell of a run with Fergie, bro. Like, we're always going to have a really rough patch, and this might get even worse, so... Buckle up, bro.
But also the tone of this season is exacerbated by the fact that we just play down to the worst competition in the league, right? So it's if we were winning and playing good football, we just couldn't, you know, match City's, you know, style of play or whatever, like it wouldn't be so bad, right? But the fact that we're drawing Crystal Palace and drawing Southampton, that is the part that makes it so terrible. It's because we have easy competition, easy games to win, and we're still losing. And that means there's something festering in the locker room, like a virus. It could be.
Yeah, but you start with the top.
Lots of different people could be the virus,
You start with the host, bro. Right?
Exactly.
When you kill viruses, you get rid of Mourinho first.
Yeah, I know, but
get him out of
there's a bunch of viruses.
There might be, dude. And then you figure out, is Pogba also a virus? If he's also a virus, then you get rid of him. And if it's... If Eddie is still, like, shitting around...
Call Dr. Alex. Send him to the dressing room.
I got the antidote for that. It's called, like, giving people their pink slip and getting the fuck out of Dodge.
There you go. Next article, some transfer. Manchester United and Liverpool lining up Christian Pulisic summer transfer per Bleacher Report.
Please no
sure,
Liverpool.
Sure, they just printed this for the clicks, but there has been some smoke around Pulisic coming to the EPL. I know Chelsea's been mentioned. Manchester United has been linked to him. Probably because of the commercial side and Liverpool as well. I think he's looking
the right
to get
wing.
Out of Dortmund.
Does play the right wing.
He does play on the right wing. He's looking to get out of Dortmund. I would be ecstatic if Manchester United signed him. As a USA soccer fan, I think it would be great to see an American succeed at Manchester United. We really haven't seen that since the traitor De Rossi. But... But Pulley, I mean, I don't want Manchester United to ruin Pulley either. So
no.
I don't want that blame. I don't like
that's tough.
That
tough
would be
card.
That'd be so hard to see him fail at the club I love. That would be really tough because I have the U.S. soccer side and the Manchester United side, and those two worlds colliding. I don't know if I want
that.
It's
like George Costanza, bro. It's like it might be too bad. You know, it's like not meant to work out that well.
But if he goes to Chelsea or Liverpool, then it's even is
no,
that
it's
better?
Even,
it's
no,
like
it's
so.
Not.
It's kind of
so
like
he's definitely got to bring him to United. The problem is you're going to have to pay over the odds, right? I would love to have Pulisic, but you're going to have to pay like $70 million for him.
Yeah, he's probably worth like 35, 40.
Probably 40, right?
Yeah, it'd probably be a record for an American player,
no,
which is great.
Doubt,
but,
without a doubt.
But hey, Pulisic,
I'd
take him. Rep that Chevy, mate. fan questions. Robbie in San Francisco. Who is the real virus, or who do you think is the real virus? There's a lot of different hosts. We can talk about the Glazers, Woodward, Mourinho, Pogba, Raiola. I mean, down the list, who is the real virus?
I mean, it might be Paul, but I think ultimately it's Jose Mourinho. It's like it's time. It's too much shit talking. I think Pogba needs to get like a harder hand from a different kind of coach, but like I think Mourinho has just lost a lot of faith from a lot of players, especially him. So I think it's time to get rid of him, get someone a little bit more positive. I think Carrick would be great in the interim. It's like we're out of everything other than the Champions League. And, dude, I don't think Mourinho's going to pull one out of his hat and help us win the Champions League this year, with like considering how hard it is. So I think get him out, change that immediately. That will help. And then we'll see if the other stuff is like still stagnating, right? If the players won't like run around the pitch, then there might be other issues even. Because start with the coach. That's the easiest thing to fix. One person out. £14 million. Do it.
I think the real virus is the Glazers, right? The Glazers are the real virus at the club. That's because they're running it like a business, right? And Mourinho is, I'm going to say, a piece of that virus that the Glazers need to kill, and they're not firing Mourinho. So it's almost like the reason why this virus is so terrible is because they refuse to get rid of Mourinho, who is kind of a key component in that, right? So I do agree with you that Mourinho is a huge part of the problem, but the reason why it's even worse is because the board aren't motivated to fire him because of the clause that he has to be mathematically out of making top four in order for them to get a better deal for the bottom line.
So they save like $8 billion, right?
Yeah, it's save $8
million.
$14 million
is the payout, right? But they're still going to pay him out even if they fire him and they miss top four. It's just less. So it's like an incremental. So it's even worse than that, sir.
Exactly. It's like we're talking about pennies here for the board, and they just don't realize the cost of the damage that Pogba and Mourinho are, their row is doing to this brand, right? The number one thing we can do right now is to get the dressing room turn around, get the attitude back. The fastest way to do that, get rid of Mourinho. Who has to do that? The board. So, in my estimation, blame the Glazers, mate.
Good answer, sir.
We are closing out this tough pod with some shout outs, some positivity here. The American Red Devils podcast, we really appreciate your support. We want to shout out the towns that have been downloading the pod over the last 7 days. Bellevue, Michigan, thank you very much for listening in. Brooklyn, New York. Cortez, Canada.
French-Canadians? Where's Cortez? I like the sound
of
that,
and then number four, our hometown, podcasting out of San Francisco, California. Sir, hit them with the rest.
Big Apple, New York, New York at number 5. We got L.A. number 6.
The Jib, mate.
Dude, the Jib at number 7. What up to Ian and all our boys out there? Last three, Chicago, Illinois.
Chi-town.
And then you take us the last two, sir.
Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Sacramento, California. Thank you so much for supporting the pod. Like me, Alex, say, it's just a small-time operation, and we have been doing our best to get you the most content after all of these disappointing draws as fast as we can. On that note, we're actually doing a sticker giveaway right now on Twitter. You can DM us if you just leave a review for our podcast on iTunes. I know we don't ask for a lot here, but if you give us a review on iTunes,
ideally
give us
five a positive
stars.
One.
Yeah, ideally a positive one.
not a lot of shit posts.
Yeah. We're actually highly rated pod for the low amount of reviews we have. But if you just write a simple review, like great pod, whatever, take a screenshot of that. You can email us, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, or DM us on Twitter. @USAREDDevils on Twitter, and we will mail you a sticker to your address. So just include that information as well in the message, and we'll get you these cool American Red Devil logo stickers. You can graffiti anything you like with them. We really appreciate it. And also, we have a Sunfrog store set up the holiday season. They got a lot of discounts. We have some American Red Devils mugs and shirts. Anything you buy helps us get you this podcast week in, week out, and we are hoping that this team turns it around. Mourinho out, Mourinho in, whatever it takes. I just want to see good football. I want to be talking about positive things on this pod. And like we can say, Lukaku, hey, he broke his scoring.
Better than nothing, dude.
His goal drought. It's better than nothing.
We're going
right?
to need him, bro.
We're gonna have another segment of the pod called Look at the Bright Side.
Look at the Bright Side.
Look at Lukaku scored.
With John and Alex.
There you go.
We appreciate it.
We could have lost 2-0, but we didn't. and then in other podcast news, we are going to be doing a U.S. men's national team takeover. I know we have a lot of U.S. listeners. There's a lot of overlap there. But we want to cover the U.S. team in 2019 as a new coach, Greg Berhalter, comes in. And we have the Gold Cup and World Cup qualifiers. So our next U.S. men's soccer match is in February of 2019. We're going to be playing Costa Rica, I believe. We'll do a U.S. men's national team takeover pod with our friend Mike, who's a self-proclaimed expert. Self-proclaimed expert on the U.S. men's national team. He'll be coming with some stats. He knows a lot about the squad and actually is friends with some of the ex-U.S. men's national team players as well. And we have great news because the U.S. started from the bottom, right? Didn't qualify for the last World Cup, so we're going to be rising out of the ashes in 2019. I think it'll be great for us to get some pause during international break on the men's national team, keep you American Red Devil fans kind of giving you some news on those lulls that we so often see international break.
Sir, if we sign Pulisic, we can make it a regular thing then.
Yeah, absolutely. Pulisic coming to United with Locke. And this summer, you know, the Gold Cup is huge for the U.S. men's national team. If you didn't know, if the United States win the 2019 Gold Cup, we automatically qualify for the Confederations Cup in 2021, which is the tournament that basically previews the World Cup, which comes in the next year. We did go to it in Brazil, almost won it against Brazil, so almost the first major international trophy for the U.N.'s men's national team. If you can imagine that we almost beat Brazil in a final way back when, and then we didn't even qualify for the World Cup. So,
sorry, I forgot to ask, did you ask for Mike's hot take on the new appointment?
The new coach, Greg Berhalter, if you guys haven't heard of him, he was the first U.S. manager to manage in Europe. He managed a Swedish first division team. He actually got the boot from them, and he's most recently been managing the Columbus Crew, which a lot of people in Columbus are hot on him. I think we're a little apprehensive about the appointment, considering it took 13 months to get him. And I do think, in my opinion, I might be on the other side of the tracks from Mike here, but what have American coaches accomplished, right? Klinsmann taking Germany to the semifinals of the World Cup, coach Bayern Munich, and when you're getting the boot from mid-table Swedish teams, I just don't know. Maybe he has a great philosophy. Maybe he'll change it around. I don't know a lot about him, so I'm not going to get into the criticism, MLS managers or whatever. We've done that in the past. It's about just hoping for the best of 2019, hoping it all comes together for him. So I'm going to root for him no matter what. But I do think 13 months to get him, I think the process was flawed. And it doesn't help him coming to the job, right?
I mean, I would have liked an MLS Cup winner. You always like someone with some real silverware.
Bruce Arenas won a few, and he didn't qualify for the World Cup. Exactly, so, you know, it's hard. He could turn around. You
and
never 38, know.
38% winning percentage, 4 points below David Moyes. Is also, you got to look at comps. But that being said, we're all rooting for him, so we'll see what happens, bro.
Yeah, it's a who knows. It's going to be an open book in 2019 for the U.S. Men's National Team. But exciting stuff here at the American Red Devils. Let us know your take on the new coach on Twitter if you got one. And as always, we'll be getting you a pod after the Arsenal game. And we'll be kicking a blue in the meantime.
Kicking a blue.
Chelsea 2, all the numbers is kicking it.